This is Phil Davidson, and with me today is Rockford Symphony Orchestra Music Director Stephen Larson. We are discussing the RSO's annual Holiday Pops Concert on Saturday, December 15th at 7:30 p.m., and then again on Sunday, December 16th at 3 p.m. at the Coronado Performing Arts Center. The Holiday Pops, it's such a Christmas tradition in the Rockford area.
It was the first Pops concert that the Rockford Symphony did. Our first Holiday Pops, I believe, was 1992. And we've been doing it annually since then.
And of course, it's become a tradition. And I think what's really great about it is you have your traditional holiday music, Christmas music, both secular and religious, but then you have some music sometimes that people haven't heard as much, and I think that's what makes it so great.
Well, one of the great things about the Christmas season is that there is just so much music out there. It's secular things, silly things. You know, Grandma got run over by a reindeer, all the way up to Silent Night and all the favorites. And you hear so many different versions of them over the radio, and people sing. Some of them are sung at church. It's a perfect opportunity to get together an orchestra, symphony orchestra, a chorus, and to really do them up the way that they
How do you decide?
It's kind of hard because there's so much out there, and there are so many wonderful arrangements. I decide by deciding what has to be brought back, what is really a tradition that we need to be doing, like Sleigh Ride by Leroy Anderson. That's an annual affair. I like to do the Leroy Anderson's Christmas Festival Overture a lot, too, because I think it's a really great medley of Christmas pieces. And every year I try to find something different, something that people aren't familiar with or haven't heard before, and maybe something a little whimsical, and something a little sentimental, and finally some sing-along. Give the audience a chance to sing along with the orchestra.
Well, you mentioned Leroy Anderson's Christmas Festival Overture, which of course includes a lot of different Christmas music. This was actually written for the Boston Pops, I believe.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the few pieces that was written for the Boston Pops that are out there for other orchestras to perform, because I don't know what the particular arrangement was, but usually arrangements written for the Boston Pops belong to the Boston Pops and nobody else can do them. So maybe this was before that that stricture came into place, but we are grateful that we can own a set of parts and do this every year, or every other year as it might be.
When I think of Leroy Anderson, I think of Sleigh Ride. I think of the syncopated clock.
Mm-hmm. The waltzing cat.
I think of the crazy typewriter song.
The typewriter, yeah. He was the master of light classics, the great American conductor of light classics. And as those kind of concerts have disappeared a little bit, you don't hear Leroy Anderson so much, except around Christmas time. And nobody can escape Sleigh Ride.
No.
It's going to be there.
It's a fantastic piece. Especially when you do the whip, which now this year, the Beloit Memorial High School Jazz Orchestra will be performing along with the symphony, specifically Duke Ellington's jazz interpretation of selections of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, as a matter of fact, a gentleman by the name of Billy Strayhorn was also involved in this arrangement.
Yes.
What inspired Ellington to create a jazz version of the Nutcracker Suite?
The specifics I don't know, but I do know this about Ellington and Strayhorn, is that they were both very curious, very adventurous people. And this was a time that Ellington was beginning to look at taking various classical works and adapting them for jazz band. The Peer Gynt Suite was another one of his adaptations, not as widely known. And he wrote some, about this time he was writing some very serious works for, even a cantata and some serious works for orchestra and jazz piano, jazz band. So the Nutcracker being one of the most popular holiday traditions that there is, he took every movement of the Nutcracker suite, which are various dances, and the overture, dances that are taken out of the ballet, and are often performed in concert, and he did a jazz version of each one of these with a distinctively jazzy title. He and Ellington, I'm not sure who wrote what or how much was written by each of them, but this was a time that Billy Strayhorn was given credit for writing a lot of Duke Ellington's work. He worked with Ellington for 3 decades, and mostly in the background, arranging and writing for him. Some people think are a little bit resentful of that because Ellington got all the credit, but I think it was more a case of Strayhorn knew that the band, the brand of the band was the Duke Ellington band. And that was what brought people in and sold tickets. It wasn't Billy Strayhorn. So he was perfectly content to write the arrangements. But at this time, Ellington was starting to give him more credit and where it was due.
Now, when you perform this piece, will this be a combination of the jazz band and the symphony orchestra?
Well,
is that
I like
correct?
To think of it as a battle of the bands.
Oh, okay.
You know, we'll do the overture miniature at first, and then they'll do Ellington's version of it, and then we'll do the Hopak and the Trepak, and they'll do the Volga Vaudi, I think is the title he gave it. And so on. We'll alternate back and forth so people can appreciate the similarities and the differences. It's like you remember those exam questions from high school and college. Compare and contrast
yes.
The following.
Yes, I used to hate those, as a matter of fact. But I don't think I will hate this.
No.
think this sounds very, very interesting. Well, as a matter of fact, for example, in the original Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy, well, in his version it says Sugar Rum Cherry. So that should be fun.
Puns and sort of irreverent slips of the tongue, perhaps, that people have come up with. I'm sure they had a very good time naming these pieces.
Well, the symphony is also going to be performing Irving Berlin's White Christmas, which is an amazing song. But I know the answer to this, but that was not originally written for the movie White Christmas. It was written, I believe, for a different movie.
It was, and I don't remember what
Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn. Okay, that's right. All right.
Fred Astaire and somebody else.
Probably Ginger Rogers.
Oh, I imagine.
If I had to hazard a guess. But Holiday Inn. And Irving Berlin, a remarkable, remarkable composer, a Russian-Jewish immigrant, it is said that, I don't have proof of this, but he said he could play the piano, but he could only play in the key of C. So to transpose it, he had a special piano built with levers that would transpose to whatever key he wanted to.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You would think he'd be able to play all kinds of keys. But then you're going to be performing the 12 Days of Christmas, which is always great.
And that's a sing-along with the audience. They get a chance to perform with the symphony. And one of the fun things about this is that they have to follow me, and I try to make them slip up.
Yes, I do remember that last year.
So
yeah.
And inevitably, somebody will come in. You'll hear one voice from the balcony going, "Five!"
Yes, yes.
In the wrong place.
Well, I was one of those voices last year. and then then we have intermission, of course, and then you come back with Sleigh Ride.
Yes.
And I don't know whether you're aware of this, but I did read this on the internet, which, of course, it's always right if it's on the internet, that he wrote this during a heat wave. He began writing it during a heat wave in 1946, but I believe there were no lyrics along with it when he originally wrote it.
The lyrics came later. This is not uncommon. Composers have very often written Christmas or winter-based songs during heat waves, just as a an attempt to cool them off, successfully or not, I'm not sure. But this was one of them.
Yes, yes. Well, now, this year's program, of course, once again, is going to feature the Mendelssohn Chorale, and they will be singing several movements from, is it John, I believe it's Rutter, or is it Rutter?
Rutter. No, they'll sing all of the Rutter. There are three movements in this piece. They're actually all sung together, so you're not really, it's fast, slow, fast. You're not really aware of any separation between them. But this has become one of the most popular and most enthusiastically sought after holiday pieces since it was written in 1974. Rutter is a distinguished English composer and choral director. He was born in 1945, and he seems to have a knack for writing music that it's never pretentious. It always sort of appeals. It reaches out and offers itself to you in a way that many other composers don't. And I think it's been said about him that he writes music that people want to sing and people want to hear. And that's, you know, that those are not always the same thing. But he does it very, very well. And this piece, oddly enough, as steeped in the Anglican tradition as it may be and as steeped in the Anglican tradition as he is, this piece found its first performance and was commissioned in Omaha, Nebraska in 1974 by a chorus called the Voices of Mel Olson. And it was commissioned because Olson said that there was a real need for a piece like this for choruses. And he was true. It was absolutely true, because this has become one of the most popular choral works in the repertory today. It's not easy to sing, but it's very rewarding to sing, but it's very rewarding to listen to also.
So this would be the type of piece that would appeal to a wide range of different folks.
Yes, you can consider this in a way a sort of a crossover piece, because people hearing the piece for the first time, people who perhaps are not fans of symphonic music, symphonic choral music, can listen to this for the first time and enjoy it. And people who are serious musicians can also listen to it and enjoy it, because it is very well composed, very well orchestrated, and just captures the spirit. The Gloria, of course, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, this is according to the Gospel of Luke, when the shepherds, when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, Luke doesn't say they sang. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. The Latin translation of that was extended in the following centuries to become the great hymn called the Gloria, that is part of the Catholic Mass and is also used in other church denominations too. Song of praise to the Holy Trinity. And there are countless musical versions of this, not only standalones just as a Gloria, but every Mass that's ever been written, every choral Mass, includes this movement. So it's a very well-known text, treated various different ways, but essentially it's a joyous song of praise, and that's what this is. It's very exultant, very jubilant, and I think Rutter described it as being also very devotional.
Well, it sounds very interesting. Then we're going to move on to a group that has been involved with the Holiday Pops for quite some time when the Mendelssohn Chorale is performing, and that's Il Coro Piccolo. Mm-hmm. And they're going to perform several selections. One of them that they're going to perform is one of my personal favorites, Mary, Did You Know? Mm-hmm. The version of that I particularly remember is Kenny Rogers and Wynonna Judd, but there have been quite a few pentatonics and so forth. But getting back to Il Coro Piccolo, for those that may not be familiar, give us a little description of that group, if you can.
Well, if you look real closely when the whole chorus is singing, the whole chorale is singing, you'll see the members of Il Coro Piccolo scattered around the chorale, because they are the section leaders of each section of the chorus. And when it came years ago, they wanted to do something for a smaller group, which is a lot of great literature for smaller choral groups. And we said, okay, well, what are we going to call this smaller group? And after running out of other ideas, we decided to just call it Il Coro Piccolo, which means the little chorus.
Oh.
that's it. The little chorus, 16 singers, and who'll perform a cappella, which means no accompaniment, in the front of the stage. It's another little texture, a more intimate version of the choral music that you're going to be hearing with the main chorus.
This year is the 200th anniversary of Silent Night, and you are including one of the greatest versions ever, and that's Chip Davis,
right.
Mannheim Steamroller arrangement. What makes this arrangement so special?
One of the things about this is that there are no words. It's just instrumental. When it's just instrumental, you are free to you're freed from having to follow those words. You can just listen to the music and try to understand it for what it is. It's written in, I guess you would call it kind of a New Age style. It's very intimate, very, most of it is very, very quiet, very contemplative, a solo piano, very sparingly used, some solo cello. It's beautiful. It's just gorgeous.
Yes, it is.
Silent Night is, I think, distinguishes itself as perhaps the greatest Christmas hymn because of its simplicity. And Chip Davis, I'm sure that when he started to write this, he said to himself, I can't go overboard on this. I can't put lipstick on this and dress it up and everything. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be something that's as simple as the original. And he deconstructs it a little bit. He'll take a phrase out and then bring it back again before finally bringing the whole thing together at the end. And I love the touch at the very end. After the last musical notes are played, the indication is for jingle bells to be like a horse's sleigh, to be jingle as the percussionist leads the stage and fades off into the distance.
Yeah, it's so creative. I just love it. Of course, I love all of Mannheim Steamroller's holiday music. But then we end, of course, as always, with the sing-along, Christmas Carol sing-along. What's the audience going to be singing this year? Or maybe that is a closely guarded secret.
Well, it's maybe closely guarded, maybe not. But we alternate from sometimes we'll have a secular carol sing-along, and sometimes it's a mixture, and sometimes it's sacred. This year, it's all sacred. Maybe Jingle Bells is in there, but it's mostly sacred. There's Joy to the World. Of course, there'll be Silent Night, just a few of everybody's favorites.
Well, it sounds fantastic as always. So, hey, those of you listening out there, get into the holiday spirit and gather your family together and join your friends at this year's Rockford Symphony Holiday Pops Concert, which is on Saturday, December 15th at 7:30 p.m. And then again on Sunday, December 16th at 3 p.m., come both times, at the Coronado Performing Arts Center. This is Phil Davidson.
And this is Steve Larson.
Thank you for listening.